All right, man, has it been a long time since I have been on the airwaves. It's me, Ramon RL Malpica, host of a show that kind of no longer exists called Fight Heads, but as you all know, all that follow me and all that have listened to me, I am still and always will be an extremely passionate boxing fan. And you know, me and Sean Heinberger, we've been trying to kind of align our schedules to possibly put together, you know, a couple shows here and there. I know he's got a lot of shows he's going to be doing on his own that are going to be coming out, so be on the lookout for that. But I was just in the car, I had some free time, and I thought, you know what, I want to talk some boxing, because I don't think I've talked boxing on a podcast since post like the weekend after Golovkin Canelo 2. And obviously a lot has happened between now and then, and just wanted to take some time and kind of give my thoughts on kind of my opinion of the state of the sport, you know, what's going on, some of the matchups coming up, things of that nature. And you know, just kind of give you my mind a little bit. I haven't been posting as much either, so I've kind of been behind the curtain a little bit when it comes to the fight game. Just a lot of things going on. You know, for me on a personal level, you know, from the film production, filmmaking and whatnot, it's a grind. You know what I'm saying? So, but once it hits, you know, I'm never going to leave boxing behind. I got a lot of things planned that I want to do for the fight game, including a possible book and some other things as well. But let's get to the fight game, man. official now, Triple G is going to be with DAZN. And, you know, I really don't know what to make of DAZN, because I enjoy it. I enjoy watching the fights. The quality is great. If you look at it, you've got right now probably the three most popular active fighters in the sport, unless you want to throw Manny Pacquiao in there, but most of us consider him on the way out. But you got Canelo, you got Anthony Joshua, and now you have Triple G. So you got some horses, and I hear they're in talks with Deontay Wilder. We'll see how that goes. And if they wrap up Deontay Wilder, then you might have the top four most popular fighters in the sport. So they're doing it right as far as getting the big guns. You know, I just, it's hard for me to understand how they're going to be able to pay these guys, because now, granted, you know, obviously I look at things sometimes through a micro level and looking at it from only an American perspective. Internationally, obviously, there's international subscribers as well. But just when I think about how much they're going to be paying these guys and what in my mind, you know, calculates how many subscriptions they might actually have, it's kind of mind-boggling to me, and I kind of wish I could get a breakdown of how that's going to work out. And I'm sure it does. The people that are in charge of DAZN and you know, who are making these moves for DAZN, I know they have some very intelligent financial people there, so I'm sure it all makes sense, you know. But it's just a different dynamic in how they're going to be paying these fighters based off a subscription-based streaming platform. So just interesting, and I'm rooting for them, because I like the app. I like having the library, those fighters on there. You know, I think they could use a few additional personalities as far as some of the shows they have, and maybe a podcast and things of that nature to really branch it out to be a true sporting platform. And if the main focus obviously is on combat sports, I mean, there's such an open window for someone to kind of be the staple for boxing and MMA, you know, that if they do it right, especially with the way technology's going, I think DAZN can be, like I said, can be the staple. You know, when people think boxing, they'll think DAZN. I really think it can, and I think they're doing it right by getting the top guys first, because they're other fighters are seeing the amount of money Triple G and Canelo and Anthony Joshua are going to be making, and that's going to kind of be the model that they're going to want to kind of shape their career around, kind of like how they watched Floyd do what he did. You know, I have a sneaky suspicion that if Floyd were active today, and by active I mean like actually fighting in memorable fights that actually mean something, not exhibitions in Japan, I think that Floyd would have open ears for DAZN as well. I just think the way they have it set up and the way these fighters are going to, the amount of money they're going to make, I mean, it's just going to open the eyes for any of these big time fighters. So it's going to be interesting to see, because you have your first major fight coming up with Canelo Alvarez and Daniel Jacobs, right? That's the first major fight. That's the first fight that's pay-per-view worthy, that fans are actually going to get for $9.99 or that free month. So I'm very interested to see, number one, if DAZN offers up the subscription numbers afterwards, or how the average consumer, how they speak about it, how they speak about getting DAZN, and if they maintain that subscription, because that's the kicker. Yeah, they might get, I don't know, I don't even have a quantifiable number, but they may get a huge influx of subscriptions, but if they all fall off the next month, then is it really worth it? You know, granted, I think they're smart in how they're layering their big fights here, because you got Daniel Jacobs, Canelo in May, and then right afterwards in June, you have Anthony Joshua versus Jarrell Miller, and then from what I'm hearing, that's when Triple G is going to be fighting. I think they'd be smart. Well, I kind of speak out of both sides of my mouth here, because in theory, it'd be smart to put Triple G in July, but if he's aiming to fight Canelo in September, that's just not realistic, because that's not enough time for him to prepare. So I get it. But that's really going to be the telltale. But if you look at things from an outside, you know, if you pull out from the micro and look at the macro of this whole situation, you've got Canelo Jacobs in May. You have Anthony Joshua, Jarrell Miller in June. You're probably going to have Triple G in June. You're probably going to have Canelo Triple G 3 in September, leaving out, I guess, July and August, where you'll have fights, but obviously not to that magnitude, right? And then most likely, since Joshua's only, you know, that's going to be Joshua's first fight, most likely Joshua's going to fight again later in the year. So you're talking about major fights and major fighters all fighting within a what? 6 month period, multiple times. So by the end of 2019, we're going to know everything we need to know about DAZN, because either subscriptions are going to be, the numbers are going to be there, or they're not. You know, I don't think, if people are really fight fans and really want to see these guys fight, if they buy in, if they haven't already bought in, but they buy in for Canelo Jacobs, I mean, I don't think they're going to drop their subscription when you got Triple G and Joshua fighting in June. Okay, so then your free month is gone. You're paying. So what are you going to do? You're going to cancel for July and August and then re-up in September? Like, most people don't operate like that. Now, there are going to be some very frugal individuals out there. I get it. But in my opinion, you know, they have it set up very well for them for the remainder of 2019. It'll just be interesting to see when it's all said and done what we're looking at, right? That's the interesting part of Triple G going to DAZN. And with Deontay, and let's go hypothetical. Let's say they get Deontay Wilder as well. Well, now those months where I said there wasn't a big fight, Wilder's probably going to swallow up those months. So then every damn near every month, you're going to have either Triple G, and this is for the next few years, you know, injuries happen, you know, Triple G's getting older, but I mean, he's set to go for at least the next 3 years, right? And unless something extremely drastic happens, I can't see him, his skills deteriorating that fast. When you got Canelo, Triple G, Anthony Joshua, and Deontay Wilder, while those two guys are building on a fight towards each other as well, I mean, you can't really get better than that. And if they're able to pull that off, if they're able to really see a major influx in subscribers, which I think they will based on the schedule and the fighters they have, then you're just going to see a lot of other fighters gravitate towards the platform. So what does that mean for everything else? Well, you obviously have the PBC situation, which has just received an influx of life, I feel, with Fox, which is big. They have a show on Fox as well, which I enjoy. I like the way they're marketing their fighters. I just would like to see better fights, and hopefully that'll come. I mean, you got Garcia and Spence coming up this next weekend, which I'm going to get to in a little bit. And as I speak, you have Sean Porter fighting tonight. And obviously PBC has a lot of really good fighters in their camp. So it'll be interesting to see, because the majority of those fighters don't technically have a promoter. So if DAZN's throwing the money at them, we'll see what happens. You know, especially a guy like Errol Spence, which I just feel like they're not taking advantage of what I feel is probably at the least a top three fighter in the world, has amazing marketability, American fighter, Olympic fighter. And I don't feel that they're taking advantage of the situation. Fan friendly fighter as well. I mean, just a great, just everything you ask for in a boxing superstar in Errol Spence. And I just don't feel like they're doing enough. You know, he fights sparingly. His resume is not that impressive. I mean, he did dominate Lamont Peterson. He dominated Kell Brook. Don't get me wrong, those are good fighters. But he's at a point right now where, especially with PBC, he should have already fought. He should have already fought Sean Porter. Should have already fought Danny Garcia. Should have already fought Keith Thurman. But it hasn't happened. You know, and obviously the big pie in the sky is Terrence Crawford. But if you haven't even fought the dudes in his own camp, what makes you think Crawford's anywhere close, right? So a fighter like that, you know, I'd love to see go to DAZN, but then you have the issue of, well, who's he going to fight if he goes to DAZN, right? And hopefully you see a major gravitational shift towards DAZN. That's the only way I think it can really set itself up as the staple. Because right now you have three legitimate brands in boxing. You got the ESPN Top Rank brand, you got the PBC brand, and you got DAZN, right? With HBO being out the mix. And I think it's a real conversation on which one you'd put at the top. I mean, for viewership, you really don't know what's going on with DAZN because they haven't really released any numbers. ESPN Top Rank has had great viewership. The Fox Keith Thurman fight had great viewership. I'll be interested to see how Spence Garcia does on pay-per-view. And then we have Crawford Amir Khan pay-per-view in April. So a lot of things to be sorted out. You know, right now you got three camps, three brands, and not one really, you know, taking the crown per se. But all in all, I'm excited to see what DAZN does. I really thought Triple G was going to retire. Not that I wanted him to necessarily. It's got to be tough for him to have the career that he's had, not really get the credit for his defenses because you had a strong percentage of the boxing community stating he never fought anybody. You know, then he starts to fight the best middleweights of the world and, you know, dominates David Lemieux, wins handily against Daniel Jacobs. And then what most boxing fans and experts and pugilists think, won both fights against Canelo Alvarez in the big, obviously the biggest fights of his career, and he walks away with zero victories, right? And now he's considered old. He's not really even, you know, talked about right now, you know, mainly because he hasn't fought since September. But it's crazy what a W can do for you, because if you stripped away result from both fights against Canelo, you know, the majority of people, and by majority I'm talking 80-85%, walk away saying, wow, Triple G just beat Canelo handily two times. Second time was closer than the first, but he beat him handily. So if you take out result, you know, you're probably thinking, okay, well, Triple G's obviously getting older. You know, you don't get better when you get older, you know, especially after you reach your prime. But he's still one of the best fighters in the world. You know, that's what you walk around, walk out and say. But now that he has a draw and a loss, it subconsciously kind of makes you question if he's even relevant anymore, which is so far from the truth. And I think we'll see that in his first bout, you know, back. Granted, we don't know who it's against, but that's just what I think. So it's one of those things where it's like, I didn't want him to retire, you know, but at the same time, it's like, what else can he prove? Because if he gets the third fight with Canelo, he's going to make a shitload of money, right? Which I think he could have made anyway, but obviously against Canelo is going to be more money than any other fight out there, right? So I get it. But he's got to be thinking, his camp's got to be thinking, and his fans have to be thinking, there's no way he can win that fight. I mean, he's like, Canelo's getting better, right? He's going to ascend. He's hitting his prime. And it's already been proven that Triple G cannot win a decision against Canelo. It's proven. And it's also been proven that he can't knock him out. So it's not like Canelo's getting old to where he might fade and get knocked out. No, he's getting better. And he's now seeing you for 24 rounds, right? So the second fight was obviously closer than the first. So therefore, the third one's probably going to be even closer. So logic tells you that Golovkin has a very slight chance of winning that fight, which is only going to hurt his legacy more. So I don't, so that's where I came out on it. You know, that's where I thought he might retire. Because like, what else does he really have to prove? He tied Hopkins' defense record. You know, he did everything he can to unify the belts, but now he doesn't have any belts. You know, the pie in the sky is Canelo again, a fighter that he really doesn't have a chance to win against. You know, does a rematch with Daniel Jacobs really move the needle for anybody? Demetrius Andrade, I mean, it'd be a good fight. Don't get me wrong, I like to see it. But is that the fight Triple G wants? You know, is BJ Saunders the guy he wants? Does he want to move up? I don't know. You know, that's why part of me wanted him to go to either PBC or ESPN. And ESPN, granted, I know they don't have the opponents necessarily. You got Brandt and, you know, a couple other cats, but you know, for him to kind of get a little bit more notoriety and whip the shit out of some people and kind of ride off in the sunset. You know what I'm saying? With the only blemish on his entire record being the Canelo fiascos. You know, to me, that would have been cool to see. Because boxing fans know who won those fights. You know, real boxing fans know. So he wouldn't have any, to me, he doesn't have anything to prove, right? You know, and in PBC, it'd be cool to see him against, you know, Charlo. That'd be cool. That's a fight I'd love to see, actually. And he could beat the shit out of some of those guys and kind of ride off. You know, but, you know, look, money talks. And I know DAZN did offer him the opportunity to promote some of his fighters, so I get it. And I'm excited to see him come back. You know, I think he's a great fighter. I think he's caught a raw deal, and I hope that justice at some point will be served for him. I just don't think it's going to happen against Canelo. Straight up. Just is what it is. Let's get to some of these fights, though. We got Crawford Amir Khan. Look, I mean, it's not what I want. It's kind of like par for the course. It's kind of what you expect when Crawford is part of the top ranked brand. There really isn't anything else. The only other option out there is to put him in there against Manny, and it's obviously that's not going to happen. But let me retract that. Manny's not even with top rank anymore. Manny's not with top rank anymore. So scratch that idea. So really, if you think about it, I mean, a fight with Amir Khan, it should not be pay-per-view. I don't understand why it's pay-per-view. He's going to beat the shit out of Amir Khan. Like, he's going to have a spectacular knockout against Amir Khan. Mark it down. Amir Khan's going to look flashy at the beginning of the fight with his fast hands. But the minute Terrence Crawford turns it on, when he turns that knob a little bit further to the right, he is going to beat the shit out of Amir Khan and look amazing doing it. Now, granted, they're adding some decent names to the undercard. Shakur Stevenson is going to be fighting again, hopefully a step up in opposition. Kid looks really good. I'm sure Conlan's going to be on there somewhere. And then you got Teofimo Lopez, who's, you know, really ascending to be one of the young stars in the game. I got to see him live here in Frisco, Texas a few weeks back, and he's just, man, he's a dynamic fighter to watch, man. I really enjoy watching him. So he's going to be on the undercard. So I like that. I like that they're showcasing some of their best up-and-coming talent, you know, but most likely each one of those fights are going to be, as Sean Heinberger likes to call, squash matches, which is going to lead you to a main event that I think, in all of our opinions, is going to be a squash match as well, just with the bigger name. So I don't get that one, but I understand it. I shouldn't say that. I don't like that one, but I understand it. It's just there really isn't anywhere for him to go. And they're going to realize quick that if they want to stay afloat, and by they I mean top rank, stay afloat in this battle of brands, they're going to have to do some cross-platform fighting. Terrence Crawford, you know, is going to stay at welterweight, which I'm sure he is. You know, he's going to have to cross that pond and fight some PBC guys. Now, granted, he is the bigger draw. Now, this is where it gets tricky. Because if Errol Spence, Mike Garcia, does a good number, a really good number, right? And ends up being, you know, Errol Spence, you know, showcases what he is and puts up a decent number, then, you know, Terrence Crawford can't say he's the A-side draw. And Bob Arum's not going to have much water to stand on, because Errol Spence has other fighters he can fight. He can fight Garcia. He can fight Thurman. You know, he can fight Porter. Shit, he can move up and fight some of the 154 guys that PBC has. Whereas Terrence Crawford really doesn't have anything. So his big pie in the sky is Errol Spence. And with them fighting back-to-back months on pay-per-view, people are going to get to see, and they're going to demand that fight if both do what most of us expect to do and win. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. You know, at the end of the day, look, you know, if a Garcia, a Thurman, even a Porter want to come, you know, they want to fight a Terrence Crawford, they're probably going to have to come to ESPN. You know, they're going to have to come that way. But the Spence situation, you know, I don't know. I think that's up for grabs. Regardless, there's going to have to be some cross-platforming for Crawford's sake. Because if not, we're never going to get to see the best of him. And that's a shame, because he's an extremely talented fighter. Top three in the game. My top three in the game right now is Vasyl Lomachenko, Terrence Crawford, and Errol Spence. Those are my top three dudes, pound for pound. Not the most popular guys. They're up there, though. They're probably 5, 6, and 7. Pretty close to 5, 6, and 7. Not counting Manny Pacquiao, because I just don't, you know, look, he's had his time. It's time for him to ride off in the sunset as well, right? But you got to think it's Canelo. Let's go international. Canelo, Anthony Joshua, Triple G, Deontay Wilder. Then you're probably looking at Vasyl Lomachenko or Terrence Crawford, then Errol Spence. Off the top of my head, that's what I'd say the most popular fighters in the sport are. Now, and I might be missing someone. You could throw Tyson Fury in there for what happened again, you know, how good he looked against Wilder, but I just don't, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if you could throw him in that mix yet. Obviously, there's other great fighters, but from a popularity standpoint, that's kind of where I'm at with it. But, so Crawford, Khan, yeah. Now, next weekend, Errol Spence, Mikey Garcia. Huge Mikey Garcia fan. Obviously a huge Errol Spence fan. Mikey Garcia, you know, he's one of those guys that's just technically on point. You know, he's, when everything is going the way it should be going in a fight, he's going to dissect you and he's going to beat you. He's going to counter well. He's going to land clean. And he doesn't get hit all that much when everything is going well. When things go off kilter, when there's a little bit of resistance, when the picture that he's painting gets a little staggered or there's a hiccup here or there, that's when you could see some flaws in Mikey Garcia's game. That's all well and good when he's fighting in the lower weight classes against, you know, decent to good opposition, which he's beaten. But he's moving up in weight. Granted, I know he's fought at 147 before. But Errol Spence is a big welterweight. Errol Spence will not be at welterweight that long. He's a big welterweight, and he's a strong welterweight, and he's an extremely gifted welterweight. So Mikey's going to have, he's going to land some punches in this fight, and it's going to look okay. But the more that Errol Spence is going to wear on him, because look, Errol Spence, look, no one talks about Errol Spence having, man, have you seen Errol Spence's left hook? Man, his right hand is vicious. Man, he's got a great left hook to the body. No, they don't. Because he does everything well. Everything. And he's relentless. His body attack. What's the Kell Brook fight? Because Kell Brook had moments in that fight, especially at the beginning. But the more the fight went on, Errol Spence doing what he does consistently, never really giving you an opportunity to rest or anything. He's just consistently on you. Body shots, head shots, just the whole nine. He's going to wear Mikey Garcia down and stop him. I don't see, it's, look, it's boxing, anything can happen. I don't see any way Mikey Garcia wins this fight. And it's a pay-per-view fight, and Mikey Garcia is a big name, and he's undefeated, you know what I'm saying? So it's, you know, it's it, there's a little bit of intrigue there, you know, who knows? Maybe he shocks the world. But I just don't see it. Unless Errol Spence's chin isn't up to par. You know, I'm trying to think of who he's fought. I mean, Lamont Peterson's not really a big puncher. Kell Brook's a pretty big puncher, especially at welterweight. And landed some clean shots on him. Didn't really faze him. I'm trying to think, who else did he fight? I can't even. No one with any power. No one with any big power. And I wouldn't even say, you can't say Mikey Garcia has big power at welterweight. So, yeah, I'd be shocked. Absolutely shocked if Mikey Garcia wins this fight. I do expect Errol Spence to stop him in the mid to later rounds. I'd say somewhere between the seventh and ninth round stoppage. So, Errol Spence should win. I mean, definitely not a 50, nowhere close to a 50-50 fight, in my opinion. You got Terrence Crawford and nowhere close to a 50-50 fight, in my opinion. You know, Lomachenko's going to be fighting Krolla. I get it. I'll say this, though. Lomachenko's last fight against Pedraza, not that impressive. Granted, I know he was coming off of shoulder injury, and he had a massive 11th, I think it was 11th round. Not that impressive. Impressive, but not to the level that we're used to. Grant, you know, look, everyone gets a fight that, look, sometimes you just got to win. And Pedraza was game. But I think one thing is obvious, that Vasily Lomachenko's power is going to be an issue as he continues to move up in weight. Was he at 135 now? I think 130 is honestly the sweet spot for him. I really do. But I mean, look, the dude's trying to, he's daring to be great. He wants to fight all the champions. So props to him for that. And his skill level is good enough for him to compete with any of them, right? It's just, how much is he going to be able to take? Are these fighters going to continue to respect him if his power doesn't hold up? So those are the key issues with Lomachenko. I'd love to see him just stick it out at 130 and just dominate the division. Because when he's in that sweet spot, which I think is 130, he's an untouchable fighter. So we'll see how that plays out. You got Gervonta Davis on the horizon at some point. So, you know, maybe they make that happen. Mikey Garcia is obviously a possibility at some point as well. Which that might be the fight that really holds Lomachenko to the fire, because Garcia can hit, and if Lomachenko can't hurt him or at least earn his respect, might be a tough night for Lomachenko. So, you know, we'll see how that all plays out. And then we get to May. We got, look, Canelo Jacobs. It's a fight I want to see. It is. Jacobs is a big middleweight, man. Big middleweight. Very athletic. Me and Sean talked about this, and it doesn't get enough play. And I will actually be interested to see, for both fighters, how they respond. Well, let me actually break it down first. Me and Sean had a conversation about fighters after they fought Golovkin, how they're not the same. Lemieux hasn't been the same. None of the guys he's ran through has really been the same. Not even Jacobs. Like, Jacobs has not looked good in the fights that he's had post Golovkin. So you got him coming in this fight against Canelo, who, yes, he beat Fielding a few months ago, but we all know that was an exhibition match, right? I don't even think he sweat in that fight. But when these guys get into deep waters now, I'm interested to see how much they have left. Now, Canelo's in his prime, right? He should be in his smack dab in his prime. But he's coming off two, especially September. Like, he got hit with some big Golovkin shots. in a tough, grueling 12-round fight. So I'll be interested to see how he looks. And we'll continue to see if Jacobs is the fighter that he was. If we get the best of both, I think we're in for a great night. I said it before a couple years ago. I think that Jacobs is actually tailor-made for Canelo to get knocked out. Just the way he fights and Canelo's ability to land punches going backwards and counterpunch. I think Jacobs is tailor-made to get knocked out in this fight, but he also has the ability, if he utilizes his athletic ability and length and strength, to really give Canelo a hard time as well. You know what I'm saying? So it's going to be an interesting fight. I think it's close to, I personally think it's close to a 50-50 fight, depending on if we get the best of both guys, depending on what they have left from post-Golovkin, to be real. So excited about that. Jarrell Miller. I love Jarrell Miller, man. He is what I love about boxing. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's just a hungry fighter, man. He's a hungry fighter that's been calling out guys for an opportunity. And now he's got the biggest opportunity he could possibly get in his hometown. You know, Anthony Joshua making his first major fight in America. Granted, I don't give him much of a chance, but I know he's going to put everything he has on the line in that fight, man. I know he is. And all the pre-fight hype for that one's going to be fantastic. It's already been fantastic. And look, I like Anthony Joshua, man. I'm a fan. You know what I'm saying? I think the ultimate goal is to get him Wilder in the ring, and where absolutely anything can happen and the whole world will be watching. Definitely the biggest fight that boxing can make. At least from a viewership standpoint. You know, the best fight's probably Spence Crawford from a boxing standpoint. But, you know, I'm not going to lie. I'm excited to see that fight. I'm excited to see that fight because the thing about Joshua is he's got like this knack to, I don't know, it's hard to explain. Sometimes it looks like he lacks urgency. That's the best way I can put it. So if he's coming into this fight with that same quote unquote lack of urgency, and Jarrell Miller is going to have like a DEFCON 0 type of urgency, you never know. It's the heavyweight division, man. And Jarrell Miller's a big individual. So I'm excited to see it. Excited to see it. As far as Triple G opponents, look, man. Dude hadn't fought since September. His activity has been so low. They better give him a squash. I think they should give him a squash, man. Someone that he can look good against, you know, get everyone excited about against. He could beat up for 3-4 rounds, stop him, you know, make sure you don't get cut or anything like that, because we all know what's coming in September. And then just get ready for September. Because he's, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's, there's no way they're going to put him in with Andre or any relevant middleweight. There's just no way. But we'll see on that, man. We'll see on that. But honestly, man, I just wanted to get on here and kind of give some of my thoughts on the fight game. I'm not even going to waste any time on Floyd or shit, even Manny. We all know what's set up, and the boxing's in a decent place right now, man. You know, I mean, those names that I named, man. I mean, the DAZN guys, you know, Whit Lomachenko, Crawford, Spence. You know, I mean, look, Gervonta Davis. I got to bring him up, man, because I think he's got the ability to be something special too if he can get his head right. You know, boxing's just in a good place, man. The light heavyweight division. You know, I didn't even get to talk about Kovalev and how he just shut everybody up. And I'm including myself, because I thought he was done. I was at that fight. You know, and it's funny because the entire crowd was like waiting for the ball to drop. They're like, okay, Kovalev's dominating this dude, but, you know, every time he get hit with one shot, they'd be like, oh, there it is, there it is, there it is. And he just kept trucking along, man, and fighting his fight, fighting smart. Realizing that, look, man, he might not be the obliterator, the pure crusher anymore, but he has a skill set to stand upon, you know? Which we said for, you know, years about Kovalev. You know, that's the Kovalev that beat Andre Ward the first fight, even though they gave the fight to Andre Ward. So he's back in the game. Dmitry Bivol's fighting tonight against Joe Smith, which I'm sure he's going to handle his business there. Alexander Usyk. I'm sorry, not Usyk. Gvozdyk, my bad. Too many Alexanders, man. Artur Beterbiev. Good fighters, man. Light heavyweight division is serious. And I think there are fights that can be made. That's what makes it even better. So. And then they're talking about who was it? Was it Ramirez? Was it Gilberto Ramirez that might be moving up to 170? I don't know. There's someone in 168 might be moving up. And I think it is Ramirez, man. Can you imagine that? You throw him in the mix too? Shit. So, look, boxing's in a good place, man. Heavyweight division's relevant. You know, the middleweight division's relevant. Welterweight division is relevant. So, look, hopefully me and Sean will get our act together. We can get together. We could talk some fights and maybe on a somewhat consistent basis. And I say somewhat in quotations because it's just hard. Real talk. You know, we're not paid to do this. We do this for fun because, you know, I do it. Like, I did this today because I just wanted to vent. It's just been too long. It's just been way too long. And I needed to talk some boxing. So thank you guys for listening. I appreciate that. It's just been too long, like I said. And you know, hopefully we'll get something together. We'll put together like a Fight Heads reunion. We'll get all the old schoolers on there. You know what I'm saying? Get Derek on there. For sure, man. But anyways, I appreciate you guys listening. Follow me on Twitter, RL Malpica. And, you know, just keep supporting everything I'm doing. I appreciate all the support, guys. And, like I said, I got a lot of boxing things in the plans once things really start moving. So all the support I can get, man, I really appreciate. But enjoy the fights. Keep talking about this thing we love called boxing. And it's always going to be here. And it's upon us to, you know, keep that energy flowing. You guys have a good one. I'll leave y'all. You know, with some more of those jams. Raise the flag, full staff. Why do you ask? I just look back, wave and laugh. We got spaceships made from glass. We look up as they pass. We get a good look at Wonder Woman's ass while we sit there.